On July 22nd, the people of Powell County and the law enforcement community of Powell County lost one of the greatest giants of law enforcement our community has ever been fortunate enough to see walk our streets. Since 1985, Robert "Rob" Matthews served the people of Powell County, working for not only the Stanton Police Department, but also the Powell County Sheriff's Office and the Clay City Police Department. He ended his watch as chief deputy of the Powell County Sheriff's Office, but will never be forgotten, not only by the various law enforcement officials he served with throughout his career, far stretching beyond the borders of Powell County, into all surrounding counties, throughout the state, even throughout the United States of America. But beyond just the law enforcement community, anyone who had the pleasure of encountering Rob Matthews on their day-to-day lives knew that Rob brought a special kind of compassion and decency to his work and to just who he was that made knowing him an absolute privilege for anyone who was lucky enough to get the opportunity. His passing leaves a hole not only in the law enforcement community, but in the community as a whole. He was a man of dignity and of compassion. And his kindness really resonated in how many people and how many individuals spoke highly of him, more highly of him than they did some of their own closest friends, from even within inside a jail cell where he placed them. A few weeks ago, we were really lucky on Bridging the Gap to have some time to sit down with Rob, along with some other members of law enforcement in Powell County, Chief Randy Lacey and Chief James Kirk, Clay City and Stanton, and learn more about their take on law enforcement now and going forward, and what our community needed to push forward the issues we faced. Today and tomorrow, we're going to bring to you some excerpts from that interview of Rob Matthews, telling us in his own words exactly what it meant to be law enforcement in Powell County.
If you go down to the Powell County Jail right now, if there's 80 people in jail down there, probably 75 of those 80 people, they may not be charged with flagrant non-support or non-support, but the reason they didn't pay their child support and got put in jail for that is because they're using their monies, the income they have, to purchase drugs with, to buy narcotics. So they may be in jail on child support warrant, but that don't mean it's not drug-related. Almost every crime that's being committed in our community nowadays is drug-related. Like I said, it could be child support. Could be somebody's not paying their child support because they're buying drugs. It could be they caught stealing something or breaking into somebody's house to steal items to take out and sell to get enough money together to buy drugs with.
Rob also went on to talk about the changing face of the drug epidemic in Powell County and how different drugs and their arrival within Powell County had changed law enforcement's perspective and the victims of these types of substance abuse.
For a long time, we had an epidemic of pills. People were going out and buying oxycodone and Oxycontin and things like that and paying big money for it. Well, nowadays, you can buy enough heroin to do you a couple of 3 days for way less money than what Oxycontin would have cost you back 7 or 8 years ago. And these drugs that they're getting on, like the heroin and the meth, are getting harder and harder and harder to get them off of it, to send them to rehabs and get them cleaned up and make productive citizens out of them. Simply because these drugs are so addictive. It's real, really, really hard. I know I took a class over at Eastern a couple of years ago, a drug class, teaching us how to go out and make illegal, buy illegal drugs off people and make drug busts. And they told us to not ever use an informant that had been addicted to heroin until they had actually been cleaned for a full year. You know, don't use them for informants, because all you're going to do, you may be able to get a buy and do a drug bust, but you're going to put them right back on the heroin that they were on.
One of the great things about that statement is it shows the humanity that not just ROG, but law enforcement as a whole often doesn't get enough credit for. But ROG definitely embodied that humanity in a way that a lot of us don't. His concern wasn't only to make sure that he got the drugs and the crime off of the street, but to make sure that no one was compromised or forced back into a life they were trying to escape in the process. And that in itself is extremely commendable. But beyond just the current day law enforcement, one thing that I thought was really important in our conversation, ROG talked a great deal about going forward in law enforcement and what the future of law enforcement might hold. He expressed a list of concerns about the way things were when he came in and the kind of recruitment they were able to conduct then versus where they are now. And it was a really valid list of concerns. And I think it's definitely worth replaying as we realize that we are moving forward into a new generation, whether we like it or not. And what exactly will we be able to offer that generation of law enforcement?
To attract quality people to law enforcement, you have to offer them something. And we have nothing to offer. We have our retirement system is not the way it used to be. It's not a good retirement system. Our benefits are not as good as they used to be. Even the Kentucky State Police reduced their qualifications to attract more people to their agency.
ROG then went on to talk a little bit more about Kentucky State Police and fears that he had that may impact them going forward. And I think that says quite a bit about him, that his concerns were never just for law enforcement here in Powell County or within his department in Powell County, but that the safety of Kentuckians as a whole was as important to him as anything else. And he was always mindful of his brothers within uniform throughout the country.
To give you an example, I know officers that have actually quit Kentucky State Police and went to work for the Metro Police Department in Lexington just because of the benefits. The benefits are a lot better at Metro than they are at KSP. Louisville's the same way. You've got a lot of people switching from KSP to Jefferson County PD because of the benefits. Not so much the money, but the benefits. And we're in a situation here in Powell County where we don't have the resources. It's not got anything to do with the fiscal court not wanting to put forth the money for law enforcement. It has nothing to do with the sheriff's office not wanting to hire people put out here on the street. It's the benefits and the money that it costs to put somebody on the street. We don't have those resources here in Powell County. I mean, we've got two full-time deputy sheriffs and two part-time deputy sheriffs and two school resource officers. And then, of course, we got the sheriff. And we don't have 24-hour police protection. And it's almost impossible to do at the rate that it costs to employ a police officer. And when you go out and put a hiring thing out there and you start interviewing people, and you hire somebody that doesn't have any experience or hadn't already been through the academy, it costs $10,000 just to pay the salary of the person that you hire to send that person to the academy. It costs the county $10,000. Well, that person goes through the academy and comes back to work for the sheriff's department and works 2 or 3 months and then quits and goes to a better police department that makes better money, that has a better retirement system. We've lost 6 or 7 good deputy sheriffs to other departments because they're able to pay more and able to have more benefits than we can afford to have.
So, and with so many hardships and issues facing law enforcement and recruitment and retainment, ROG, his thoughts immediately turned to the safety of his fellow officers.
We just had a shooting here in the county not long ago, and the result of that was the officer was cleared because he had no other choice than to use deadly force. Even though the guy that he shot didn't die, he's still considered using deadly force. Well, the whole reason that he had to use deadly force was the lack of support that he had there. He was the only one there. Somebody got there shortly after the shooting happened, but he started off fighting with the guy, physically fist fighting with him, and that guy was outweighed him quite a bit and was quite a bit taller than he was, just kept shaking him off. And then he resorted to his baton, striking the guy, trying to get him down, to get him handcuffed, to get him under control. Then he resorted to his pepper spray. That didn't have an effect on the guy because he was so high on meth. Then he resorted to his taser. That had no effect on the guy because of the amount of dope that he had in his body. And there wasn't nothing left but his sidearm, and he had to use that to protect himself, because the bottom line on it all is we want our officers to go home every night safe. Every time they get into shift, we want them to get in their car and go home to their families and then be safe. We're not going to get out here and shoot people and tase people and spray people with pepper spray and beat on them with nightsticks for no reason at all. That's not why we're here. You know, I don't think I would have been here as long as I have been, and that's 33 years, if that's the way I operate, you know. And the thing about it is, when you look at 1984 when I started, and now the differences are huge, huge differences in people that you deal with on a daily basis. Back in 1984, when you stopped a car at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's probably going to be a drunk driver or somebody intoxicated on alcohol, and you're going to have to fight that person. Well, I would a lot rather have a fist fight with somebody that's on alcohol than I would have an altercation with somebody that's on meth or that's on heroin, because of the ability to be able to control that person. And the thing about it is now, back then, we dealt with drunks, with people drinking alcohol, and we could control them. Now we're dealing with people that are hopped up on heroin and meth, and it's gotten to the point to where you can't control them without using some kind of force. But the manpower and the resources to do that with are no better now than they were then, really. I mean, I don't know of an officer that worked in Powell County in the year 1989 that had a bulletproof vest or a high-powered rifle in his car. Nobody got that kind of stuff until the sheriff and the deputy were executed, were murdered in 1990, you know, January 30th, 1990, when they were, I believe it was 90 or was 92. Nobody had that kind of equipment until after that happened. And now we've all got that kind of equipment. The resources of equipment is a lot better now through grants and things like that. But the resources of personnel to have out there on the street working is not even as good as it was back then. You know, they got the COPS grant that I filed for back when I was working for Stanton. And it we done real good as long as that stayed in effect. But as soon as we lost it, we lost those officers, you know, and went right back to square one. And we need to be able to battle these drugs and stuff to cut back on the rate of crime, on the rate of thefts. And I'll go as far as to say it again: most child abuse cases that are worked in this county, especially sexual child abuse cases, either me or KSP one works them, and every time you turn around, every defendant will sit across the table from you, and you interview them, and you get to get them talking to you and telling you why, what happened and why it happened, and it's always got something to do, some kind of a narcotic.
Another. Thank you for joining us again today on this unique and special edition of Bridging the Gap. Knowing Rog as many years as I did, knowing him as kind of as a mentor when I came into 911 service 17 years ago, he's really been an important part of our community, and I hope we can honor his memory the best way we can with this show over the next couple of days. So tune in tomorrow. We'll have a few more words from Rog. And thanks again.